Good evening and welcome to Politically Incorrect with your host, Andrew Schechter. This week's topic is mandates. What is legal? Brought to you by EternalAffairsMedia.com, also known as EA Truth Media. Your host tonight is myself, Andrew Schechter, author of Darkwater, Game Over, and two-time delegate for Donald Trump to the Republican National Convention. Please help us with a donation at donate.eamedia.online, providing some bling at store.eamedia.online. Please help keep the truth online. And tonight, we'll open with a prayer, as always. We send a prayer tonight to all those who have worked so hard to keep our nation strong, the veterans, the military, the active military, and all of the hardworking leaders in our Congress and in our local government, the ones who actually strive to help citizens. We pray that your word can be heard. We pray that you can succeed in your effort to maintain a strong, positive, and conservative government that will help to relieve the problems we're having, and that we have more and more of these come forth. For the Lord, we pray that people come to the podium and run for those offices that can keep your good word and your name in the limelight. Pray these things in your heavenly, glorious name, O Lord. Amen. Tonight we have our December donors on the list. December's one-time donations: Alicia, Reverend Dave, Rudy, Andy, Lisa, and Marcy this month. Truth Premium Signups. You can have a premium sign-up membership, monthly membership. Patty, Linda, Dave K. Patrons, Alicia, Reverend Dave, and Dan. Thank you all for your donations. Please also pass the word around about the podcast. We need more people, many as we can get on our show, and for downloads as well. If you can't make the show, encourage your friends to download and listen to the offline podcast. So I'm sure that most people have heard that the Senate has voted by a very narrow margin. It's 4 votes off. It's normally a 50-50 split, with one dissenting Republican and three Democrats that voted to cancel the Biden mandate for the vaccination. And that brought the topic for tonight. We're going to spend some time on that. And we always open with a little bit of the current news and affairs and things that are going on in general. Then we'll get on that topic. But the main reason that for the podcast tonight is to enlighten people as to what a mandate is, whether it's for a vaccine or for something else. What's laws and what's not laws? What's legal and what's not legal? A lot of people don't understand that. So that was our topic for tonight, and we'll get on to that momentarily. So first of all, I'd like to get a general message out that the atmosphere is changing politically. And you can see that in Ukraine with the Russians. You see it with the Chinese and the Australians. I don't know if you've been following Australia. Things are getting pretty tight. The Australians, we didn't go blaming the Chinese. And when Trump was in, we blamed the Chinese for this pandemic. But the Australians, for as crazy as they are with their laws and their mandates, they got the 100% blame on the Chinese. And now the Chinese are retaliating because they're blaming them for putting out the virus intentionally or out of the sheer stupidity and lack of procedure and security. It's going to get interesting. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world right now. And, you've got the Chinese, several major corporations in China. The real estate market is insane. The real estate market's been going crazy. For what you don't know, in China, there's number of groups that have gone out and borrowed money to build buildings, housing units, thousands of them. Problem is, they've never occupied any of them. Nobody's got the money to pay the rent on them. So there's these thousands and thousands of buildings all across China, and these huge companies that have just been taking in the money and raking it in can't pay their bills. They can't pay it back because there's no renters. There's no buyers. All that money is backed by U.S. dollars. And it's all caving in. Chinese are making light of it, like they're going to boost it or back it somehow. But that's another major issue that we're going to be following very closely over the next couple weeks. Let's talk about law. Everybody knows that if you go out and you smash a window and you run and you're caught on camera and the police drag you in, you're breaking the law. Now that law's set, and is that law valid? So there's a whole group of people that don't believe any of the laws are valid. They don't believe that. They believe that America is a big corporation. As of the late 1800s, we turned into a corporation, and they're not responsible for any of the laws made thereafter. Personally, I think it's silly, but they have some points. The fact of the matter is that laws are set by legislatures. That's why they're called laws, the legislatures. They legislate laws. There's a House of Representatives in general. Hi, Joanne. Made it. My good friend Joanne is in this studio, and I have to mention that, you know, I'm sitting here, it's 33 degrees and snow's coming down, and she's down there in southern Florida in Trump territory, right that near the Mar-a-Lago, and she said it was 76 degrees down there. I'm envious. Still came in for my podcast. God bless you, Joanne. So we have three branches. We have the legislative, the executive, and the judicial branches. We all learned this in school, at least we did in years gone past. And the legislative proposes changes and updates, and they propose all sorts of things. It's presented to the executive branch that actually makes the law. So you've got your legislature, you've got your Senate. The judicial rules on things. And now this is where the thing is coming. Everybody wants to go to the Supreme Court. They want to bring it before a judge. Judge's ruling is not always a final mandate, especially not in the Supreme Court. You know, in the Supreme Court, everybody takes things to the Supreme Court, but if you look at a Supreme Court ruling, it doesn't say this is the law, because the judicial system cannot make law. It says this is the opinion of the court. Let me say that again. Look at any Supreme Court decision, it says it's the opinion of the court. What's supposed to happen after that opinion is rendered is that then the legislative division gets in, reviews the opinion, goes through then the House and the Senate to make a legal decision whether it becomes law based on that judgment. Hence, you know, Roe versus Wade was an example we went over in the past. You know, that's a legislated law, but it's based on a judicial ruling, which was an opinion. If that opinion gets overturned, that law can be overturned. But the law to be overturned would have to go back through the legislative process through the House and the Senate to overturn it. A lot of people don't realize that. So the Senate today, or actually yesterday, ruled that Biden's mandate is not legal. There's a couple reasons why it's not legal. The first is that the president can't make a mandate no matter what. He cannot, a couple things he can't do. Number one, he can't rule over the private sector. By going to the CDC for private sector companies, he's bypassing the process, the procedural. He's extending federal authority over state authority, which is not permissible. He can't rule for the government workers either. The government workers' rule would have to come through the legislative process. which he didn't follow. There's only certain things you can initiate by an executive order. And executive orders are designed to be used to stop immediate threats from outside forces or things that are so immediate that they cannot be stopped by any, that can't wait for the legislative process to go through. These mandates had plenty of time to go through the proper process and procedure. Hence, they were overruled, and now they're overruled by the Senate. The same thing happens in the states. See, now, if you look at the Constitution is a really great piece of writing, well thought out, debated for many years. Now, it took a good 15 or 20 years to get the Constitution, Bill of Rights together and get it ratified. It didn't happen in overnight in 1776. It wasn't until about 1783 we really got any of it passed. Then there were additional amendments and additional bills, or in the Bill of Rights, additional amendments. A lot of thought was put into that in the Federalist and the Anti-Federalist papers. And Alexander Hamilton was a great proponent of a limited government and limited authority for judicial authority, with the concern being that if judicial authority rules on matters, then judicial authority becomes the government. They become the legislative body, which are not supposed to be. And they saw it happening. They saw it coming about. And a number of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the writers of the Constitution and signers of the document, didn't want that Constitution written the way it was. They wanted to limit a lot of the things and set in stone who has the rights. They really wanted the federal government to rule strictly over international, interstate commerce, and international security. Anything within the states should be ruled by the states. Hence why you see a lot of states that now have marijuana clinics and you can buy recreational marijuana. The federal government has ruled that not legal. But it's not their place to set that ruling in place. Now, you have interstate commerce and you have a major, manufacturing process of, marijuana. Yeah, that's a different story. Then you can put rules and tariffs in place. But if it's statewide program and statewide, personal use and personal growing, they have no legal right to mandate that. Hence why you see many of these states going against them. Local authorities have to yield to the state and to the federal. And all the above. So despite a mandate being in place or not being in place, it's irrelevant. If your company, a private company, decides that they're going to require a vaccination to work for them, then unfortunately it's your choice whether you work for them or you go someplace else that doesn't require that. Because sadly, the only people that are actually protected constitutionally are those in the protected classes or the exempted classes, which are extremely limited. And unfortunately, if all the companies decide to listen to the mainstream media and say, yeah, this is what's going to stop something. Or listen to the mainstream media even about other matters other than vaccinations, but other mandates and other policies. We're in serious trouble, folks. Because where did the rulings actually come from? Now we'll get to the heart of the matter. You're all waiting for this. Why would a company want to force a mandate, regardless of whether it's vaccination or other mandates? You know, you've got all kinds of mandates and things that come down from CDC. You know, you can't walk into an industrial environment without a hard hat and glasses. Even when you're in areas that there's no falling debris and no sparks flying. They do that for safety and security. We all understand that. But a definition of safety and security varies when it comes to disease. When you look at statistics, and the statistics don't match what the media is saying, don't match what the businesses are saying, there's something wrong. But private business can determine what their needs are. And there's been some pretty weird mandates in private industry. Look at the restaurant Hooters, for instance. You know, Hooters, you would think that there would be an issue. I mean, it's all female staff. That seems odd to begin with. And then they have to wear certain very revealing outfits. No one complains about that. No one complains about that. But it's sexist. And it's, you know, certainly biased against the women. But nobody complains about that. But they can do that because it's a private business and it's not a protected class. My daughter, no one goes to Hooters for food. No, that's right. But what about, you know, there's all different types of people in the world, and you're looking at one class of people. You're looking at, you know, well, maybe two classes, I guess. I mean, maybe you could have heterosexual males and gay females that would like to, you know, women that are scantily dressed. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that if they would require that same dressing in a rural delicatessen or a fancy restaurant, they make front page news. But they can do that because they're a private company and it's not a protected class. That's the key right there. They can make you as an employee wear a hard hat and safety goggles to walk out on the street when there's absolutely no chance of getting hit by anything. Because they can. The ruling is allowed by federal and state governments and most local governments. But if you don't have a handicap ramp or you put in a separate bathroom for blacks or Hispanics or even whites, you're going to be shut down. Because you're looking at a protected class. You know, if you violate the rules and you fire someone because they turned 55 or 65, it's a protected class. But it's not a protected class for the federal government. That's the interesting thing. You know, if you're over 35, you can't join the army. If you're over 65, most of them will throw you out of all the services. Did that in private industry, you'd be put in jail and shut down. So what's good for the goose isn't always good for the gander. And again, you know, age and racial and other discrimination is rampant everywhere, yet no one questions it. You know, you can't. I work in telecommunications. I work right now in a internet company. But there's other companies that I was looking at. There was, you know, look for particularly things like, you know, Verizon and Comcast and all these other companies. If you're not bilingual, and by bilingual, I don't mean French. If you're not bilingual, you're not going to get hired. And they're going to put it right in their ad. Bilingual required. It says America. But it's their company and their rules, and that rule goes through because of the clientele they serve. But all the rules are based on judicial opinions. They start out as judicial opinions. Or they start out in the House of Representatives of either a state or federal government. And if it goes through the House of Representatives and through the Senate and somebody challenges that, it could go to the Supreme Court for an opinion. Then it would go back to this House and the Senate for reconsideration. It's just like when you go to court. You go to court and the judge rules against you. You're guilty. Great, I'm guilty. That has nothing to do with what the consequences are of whatever you did. It's when they come down and tell you what you got to do about it, and they come down and sentence you to based on that guilt. Because we ruled that you stole two Twinkies from the grocery store, you're going to have to go to jail for overnight. That becomes the ruling. Some rulings can be made by judges. Others need to be made at a higher level. Now, the judge ruled certain voting procedures in 2020 in Pennsylvania. That's legal. Doesn't mean they are. It's what they said that was their opinion was. And then because the judge ruled them as valid, the governor appointed a secretary of state to enact them. And in Pennsylvania, everybody said, wow, you can't do that. The Constitution says it's up to the legislation to make rules about elections. Ah, that's true. But in the 1930s, Pennsylvania relinquished that rule. The governors and the legislature ruled and voted to relinquish that to the Secretary of State. Now, is that legal when the Constitution says it's not? Funny thing is, we're all forced to abide by rules that were set. Some of the rules are in violation of the Constitution. Some of the rules are in violation of other rules. So what happens then? That's when a judge comes in. That's when a judicial ruling comes in. At that point, if you've got the time and the money and the wherewithal, you bring your case to court. You challenge the judgment in court. That becomes another judicial ruling, which is another judicial opinion, which then gives you the right to go back and say, judge, you were wrong, and have the overturned. Now, why are we going all around robin? This is all about mandates, because you need to understand the process to understand the mandates. So when your employer says you need to have this or you will be fired, whatever this might be, you need to find a class. By a class, that's a group or a cohort that has a similar problem. You need to all pitch in a few bucks and hire an attorney. You need to find the ruling. You need to find the rationale and the reason that their judgment is in error. So you can see now that the Senate has said that this mandate is unlawful. Now you can use that mandate in court, that judicial opinion in court, to fight your employer. And that's why the Senate ruling on the judicial opinion was so important, because now we've proven that there's an issue, significant enough issue, that that OSHA can't issue these rulings, the president can't issue these rulings. And why the hell are private employers allowed to do that, to take away your rights? At some point, we have to put our foot down and say, you know what? Enough is enough. To some degree, everybody's a protected cohort. That's the opinion that needs to be found in the Supreme Court, particularly with these mandate cases. And in my opinion, a religious belief, a religious authority should be an exemption, no less than being Black or Hispanic or Native American or handicapped. These are inherent, ingrained rules of a higher authority than nations, a higher authority than judges, the highest authority, God Himself. That's what we need to fight for. We need to push and fight for religious rights as a protected class. Since we are protected under the Constitution and the First Amendment of the Constitution. And that is a topic for the evening. That is why I brought this up, because a lot of people don't realize the process and why you can't just say this is not right, or I need an exemption, or because we don't have it. We're not a protected class right now. But our choice is to leave under a at-will working environment or accept their conditions. And that needs to change. We need to fight not only for the constitutional rights under the First Amendment, but for our rights under God. And it's just starting. You're going to see it coming out. There's a lot going on right now. Power of God. Bless his soul. Amen. We will succeed. Hey, for your late folks showing up, don't know what the topic is going to be next week, but every Thursday we are here, 10 p.m. Eastern time. If you can, pass the word on to your friends. Always a topic of current discussion, some enlightenment and things you might not be aware of, what's going on and how they affect you, why things were done the way they were. So invite your friends. If you have a dollar or two to spare, feel free to donate at donate.eamedia.online. Help keep the truth online, and be sure you like our show and our hosts. We have several hosts at Eternal Truth Media, bringing the truth to light. Please look at our other podcasts on Podbean and other venues. With that, kind of serious nature tonight, but very important, I'm going to say good night to everyone. Thank everyone for coming out tonight. More topics next week. If anybody has a topic of interest, feel free to connect with me. Very easy to find me. Just type my name in any web browser. You'll find 1,000 links to connect to me. Or go to my book, darkwatergameover.com. You can use the web form on the website. You can also view the description of that great book about the whistleblower who predicted the situation we're in right now, and the situation was yet to follow. So everybody have a great evening. Thank you for stopping by, and you have a good night. Thanks, Joanne. Have a great night, everybody. See you next week. Yes, Joanne, let's go, Brandon. Good night, everybody. See you next week. If you missed the beginning of the show, it's going to be online within 15 minutes. Feel free to listen offline after the show ends. Have a good evening. Night, everybody.